The pressure to innovate is constant. It can be crippling, or it can be a catalyst for your best thinking and your best work. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you understand the forces that drive change and find new approaches to compete and win on innovation. Change course. Get ahead. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.
Don't think. Feel. It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory. Do you understand?
Chris 88. Time to set it straight, you know what I'm saying? And there ain't no half stepping. Word.
I'm ready.
Fear is stronger than love. Remember that. Mm-hmm. Fear is stronger than love. All the love I gave didn't mean nothing when it came to fear. So it's all good. But I'm a soldier. I always survive. I constantly come back. You know what I mean? Only thing that can kill me is death. That's the only thing that'll ever stop me is death. And even then, my music will live forever.
Okay, I'm reloaded.
Hey, 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 yo, what's good, y'all? This is Ms. 100, and this is the Mr. 100 Music Corner podcast. Yes, the podcast. This is a podcast about hip-hop and sports. I have my co-host with me, Kel, and I gotta let y'all know, we are former A&Rs who used to work for a Philly indie label, and we also are two big-time sports fans. Kel is the hometown fan. I'm the jerk that hate Philly sports. We both born and raised in Philly. So each month, we will be releasing an episode discussing hip-hop and sports. And we're going to jump right into this. The first part of the podcast is going to be about hip-hop. And we're going to actually start off with the best hip-hop albums of 2018. Kel going to give his five. I'm going to give my five first, or he going to give his five last, you know what I'm saying? Then we're going to give our, like, best songs of those albums or whatever. And, you know, it's just like barbershop style talk, you know what I mean? We're going to be chilling, drinking. Our drink of choice tonight is Coconut 1800. Yes, yes, yes. If you know Ms. 100 from Twitter, Hood Geniuses Podcast, you know I drank the tequila. You definitely know. So what's up, Kel?
What's going on, people? Hanging in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So listen, yo, we're gonna jump right into this. You wanna go first, or you want me to go first with this?
Go first.
All right. You know, for those hip hop heads out there, y'all know 2018 has been a great year for hip hop. It really has been. I'm very impressed. I have been very impressed with 2018. It's actually going to be part of one of our topics after we do our best hip-hop albums of 2018. So I'm going to jump right into this. I'm going to jump right into my five. My first album is Nipsey Hussle's Victory Lap. The best songs that I like on the album is the title track, Victory Lap.
Yes, sir.
Dedication. Blue Laces 2. Hustle and Motivate. And Rap Niggas. Before I go on to, you know, my next album, I just gotta say, I think Nipsey album Victory Lap is pushing for album of the year. The production, his energy, his passion on the songs, his storytelling. Like, I mean, this was a really well put together album. And I just never heard a hip-hop album in a while that was, like, so put together like this. I mean, far as for 2018 and a couple of years. I mean, Kendrick, he put out some well-put-together albums. But honestly, I actually like this over the Damn album. You know what I'm saying? And, some people might say damn, Miz, you tripping. But no, I'm not. Like, overall, sound quality, content, it's almost like a poor man's version of the 444 album that was put out with Jay-Z. You know, he was putting the game out there on the hood level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, from basically a hood nigga that made it, came up through the hustle game, and made all his shit legal. You know what I'm saying? I hope all this shit legal. You know what I'm saying, Nipsey? You know what I mean? You don't want them fat boys on you, but I hope everything is legal. But yeah, this is a dope album. I'm going to get into my second best album, J-Rock. J-Rock's Redemption album. Best songs is E.S. Tell's King's Dead from the Black Panther soundtrack. The next song is When, which is like an anthem. The other song is Broke. And the other song is OSOM featuring J. Cole. This album surprised me. You know, I'm not saying that I don't think J. Rock isn't a dope artist, but this album really surprised me because, I mean, J. Rock, that first album that he put out was so-so. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the
shit recent with Wayne.
Oh, not the one with Wayne when he first came out. The joint where he used a zip code. I fuck with only probably about four songs on there. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, this J Rock album Redemption is really dope. I'm going to the next album, which is Pusha T Daytona. I know Pusha T's Daytona album is probably ranked number one on a lot of people. Best of 2018 list, but yeah, this is number three for me. My best songs on there is the first song, If You Know You Know, Santeria, and Infrared. Infrared was really hard. That was the song where he had the bars about Drake, and we all know how that went. But yeah, Santeria. I'm going to my fourth best album, which is Voice the 5-9, Book of Ryan. Best songs is Dumb, Caterpillar, featuring Eminem,
Crack Ass,
Pablo Boat, featuring J. Cole, and the song Cocaine. Voice album, Book of Ryan, makes my top five because this was a conceptual album, and I don't think many people nowadays, many artists really can put together this kind of album, how Royce did it. I mean, he added a lot of personal stuff that was going on in his family. It takes a lot of balls to do something like that, you know what I'm saying? To really make yourself transparent like that for the world. I mean, the world, especially the platform that Voice has. So I thought this was a really dope album production wise how you put the songs together, the content and everything. Royce the 5-9 just a dope artist to me anyway. And my fifth album is by Travis Scott, Astroworld. Best songs is Sicko Mode, Rest in Peace Screw, No Bystanders, 5% Tent, and Skeletons. I know Kel ain't fucking with this album. You know, he probably looked at my list like, man, what the fuck, he got this Astroworld on there? You know what I'm saying? You know, we come from the 90s, you know what I'm saying? Like, but no, like, Astroworld is a dope album. I actually see, when I listen to this album, I seen why he was like an understudy of the Kanye, and Kanye started using him to make his beats. I see it.
Because
right now,
Kanye sound like Travis Scott. I agree with
so, that. Travis Scott, he really opened I kept my eyes on him, but with this album, he really opened my eyes up to his talent and production. He's a really, I think he's a better producer than artist. You know, I'm going to say that. I don't really care too much for, I'm not looking for the bars with him. It's just a feel-good album for me. You know what I mean? And, you know, a change-up from the, you know, the lyrical miracle. You know that shit, though. You know what I'm saying? So, here you go, Kel.
That Sicko Mode sound, Sicko Mode song, when it first came on, I was hyped. Like, Dre was going to kill that shit. And then it switched to that fucking Travis Scott. I'm like, oh, man. You know what I mean? That shit sounded like Dre was about to go in. And then it just switched into Travis Scott. I'd be like, damn. And it felt like when it came back to Drake, it didn't have that same momentum. Like how Dre started off.
I thought that's what made it dope. Actually, I thought that's what made that Sycamore song.
I fuck with the song.
Yeah.
I like the song.
It pulled you in. Yeah, like you said, like, man. Damn, Drake about to kill this joint. And they just stopped the shit. You know, so that's where I see the Kanye shit.
Yeah, he's smart.
You feel me? Because, you know, it's playing with your mental. You know what I'm saying? That mental prime and stuff like that. Because naturally, you start to get bored. So you got to have all these different sonic sounds and shit like that to keep the mind interesting. You know what I'm saying? So I get it. You know what I mean? But, yeah, that's my five, man. What's up with your five?
Oh, man.
This nigga brought out a whole ancient book on me.
What's up? What you said?
No. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with my number one album for the year is... Pusha T, Daytona. You know what I mean? I felt like even though it was short, it was well put together. Everything flowed from beginning to end. Now, my favorite songs on there is If You Know, You Know, The Games We Play, Santeria, and Infrared. You know, he had to get in Drake ass one time. But dope album. Best album of the year for me. And then going to see him live. Just made everything come to fruition for me. I was gonna give it to Nipsey, but when I saw the live show that he put on, I'm like, damn! Like, no album, you can just go song for song on your set. You know what I mean? And number two is Nipsey Hussle, Victory Lap. We got my favorite songs is Victory Lap, Hustle and Motivate, Grinding All My Life, and Double Up. Yeah, Nipsey put together like one of the best albums I heard in a long time, man. Well put together.
Yep.
He gave you some knowledge, that street shit. He gave you everything you wanted in the album, you know what I mean? He really matured on that album. Like, that's the best work.
Yeah, after he put out like 100 mixtapes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He put out the 100. Remember he put out the mixtape where it sold for $100? Yeah. And everybody was like, yo, he crazy. Yeah. Hov bought 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, Nipsey is a hustler. You know what I mean? He has the business mindset. And he young and he getting it. Like, you know, much success to Nipsey and his team, yo. Real talk. You know what I mean? You had some more in your journal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Damn, my bad. Shit, I'm
trying. I was just like, you know what I mean?
I'm hype on that shit, yo. Like, damn. Put some Nipsey on. You know what I'm saying?
My number three album is J-Rock, Redemption. You know what I mean? My favorite songs is The Bloodiest, When, Wild with K-Dot, King Is Dead, and For What It's Worth with The Weeknd. I thought J-Rock put together a complete album, you know what I mean? He gave you everything. He got you dancing.
Close to Nipsey.
He got, close to Nipsey. He got you dancing. He got you thinking, you know what I mean? Everything. He gave you all the emotions.
Yeah. And then, personal stories.
Yep, the personal stories, everything, man. You know what I'm saying? I dug that album a lot. Then my number four album, Apollo Brown and Joel Ortiz, Mona Lisa. Oh, man, I just thought it was dope all the way through, man. Joel Ortiz got them bars. Yeah. Apollo Brown got them beats.
That's definitely one for the underground, yo. You know what I mean? Because you know that joint ain't going to get no radio play. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, damn, man. Like, yo, shout out Joel Ortiz and Apollo Brown for really bringing the real hip-hop back with that one. You know what I mean?
Yep. My favorite songs on the album was My Block, Cocaine Fingertips, Grace of God, and That Place. That was a dope album, man. That really came under the radar. You know, a lot of people not talking about that. That's a good album.
They not.
And my fifth album is Nasir album. I know a lot of people hated on it, but I was feeling it. You know what I'm saying? I warmed up to it. It's a good album. You know what I'm saying? My favorite songs on there is White Label, Bonjour, Everything, and Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve was hard, man. Like, one of the top singles for the whole year, hip-hop-wise, for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I thought Nas bought it. A lot of people, even myself, like, when I first heard it, I was like, damn. But as I listened and continued to listen, I was like, damn, that's a Nas project. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hold your thoughts for that, because that's actually one of our topics later on. You know what I mean? We're going to get into talking about the Nasir album. So yeah, those were Kel's top five albums for 2018 hip hop albums. You heard mine, my top five. Almost kind of a little similar. You got Nipsey in yours, yeah. Your top five. I got J-Rock in mine. Yeah. You know, kind of similar taste, kinda. You know what I mean? Kel ain't fucking with Sycamore
and
Travis and shit. I'm gonna post Malone on that motherfucker.
That's Mill New Bad Habits got him fucking with that Travis Scott.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so all right, we're gonna get into the next topic. The next topic is 2018 just as good as 88 or 96 as far as hip hop, meaning the dope, so many dope albums that came out in 2018. Does 2018 match 88 or 96? And for those who are true hip hop heads, you know, y'all know, even to the Young Bucks, hit the Google machine, you know, pay Wikipedia if you need to, pay your fees to Wikipedia to look this
Damn,
up.
You gotta pay fees.
Yeah, they charge fees. Shit, listen, yo, I was online the other day and Wikipedia was like, please, we need a payment. Like, they had a big ass drum. Real talk. This was dead ass yesterday.
They asking for donations?
Donations.
Or you, okay.
Yeah, just
okay.
Donations. A big ass drum come up and they ask for you to donate. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, that's crazy, boy. I guess the internet got to get their bread too, huh?
Yeah.
So fuck all this free shit, huh?
Hey, everybody got to eat.
God damn. Everybody eats, B. But, yeah. As far as 2018 comparing to 88 and 96, I definitely disagree. I'm just going to run you down 10 albums from 1988 and you tell me.
Damn, okay.
One of the first albums was Public Enemy. It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. I don't think anything that came out in 2018 will have that type of impact on hip hop. Then, we got the next album was N.W.A. Straight Outta Compton.
Oh shit!
You Know Nothing in 2018.
Yeah, the impact
going to have that type of impact. Then the next album was EPMD, Strictly that. Business. You know, far as the sampling and the impact that they had on the games.
One of the best hip hop groups.
Oh man, one of my favorites, top five.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Then you had Big Daddy Kane, Long Live the Kane came out in 88.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, self explanatory. Then you had Slick Rick, Great Adventures came out in 88. Then you also had BDP, By All Means Necessary. You know what I'm saying? So 2018 definitely can't fuck with 88.
What else is on that list, man? Got, that's crazy.
Ultra Magnetic.
Oh, they was goofy, but yeah, no, they
goofy. You ain't fuck with Ultra Mag, man. That album was hard, bro. Them beats, nigga. I'm gonna put it on before you leave, nigga.
Yeah.
Ultra Mag was crazy. Critical Beatdown album. Then you had Eric B and Rakim Follow the Leader album. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God,
Follow the Leader was hard.
Oh my God. Oh, I know I ain't seen it three times.
Oh, Stalin.
Came that out was 88?
Yeah, 88 had a lot of albums, bro. You gotta Google that shit.
That's a classic. Listen, yes. For people who don't know Philly that's hip-hop. A classic. EST.
EST.
From Huntington Park, right?
Yes, sir. And then you had, I had to throw a female in there for y'all. MC Light, Light as a Rock. You know, that came with Paper Thin and all that shit was hard. You know what I mean?
You know what's funny?
88 was crazy.
People probably gonna listen to this and be like, they some old niggas over there, yo. Hey, get these old niggas the fuck out of here. We wanna hear that monkey shit, yo. They ain't got Future on none of their list. They ain't got Drake on none of their list. They ain't got a little Pump on none of their list. You know what I'm saying? They gonna like, get these old niggas out of here. No, this is the Mr. 100 Music Corner Podcast. And we real true hip hop. Here's the litters. Yeah, we give props that's due to the new school, no doubt. But this isn't a podcast that's going to be about strictly talking about what's new. This is, we're going to talk new school, old school, and just our own debates and topics. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to do the regular talk. You know what I mean? But yeah, 888 is a outstanding year for hip hop. Kel just shut it down on me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to let Kel get into 96 because I did mention 96. And from what I'm seeing on this list right now, I just need to go sit my ass down. God damn, 96.
God damn. 1996, some of the top albums was Tupac, All Eyes on Me. That's self-explanatory. I don't need to say no more. I don't think nothing in 2018. What had the impact that All Eyes on Me had. Then you got Nas, It Was Written, came out. Same thing, man. Self-explanatory. Don't need to say no more. That was Nas, I think, best-selling album he ever put out. And then you had Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt. That's his best album to me, hands down. And then you had the Fugees, The Score. You know, that's so like 20, 30 million worldwide, hands down. Then you had Outkast, ATLians. That was hard. That was a dope album. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
That was real hard.
By the way, we ain't never do a best Outkast playlist.
Is it worth it? I had one. Yeah, I had one. I don't have it no more. I definitely had that. Dude, I got you. And then, another album in 96 was Tupac, Machiavelli.
Damn.
You know, he dropped that. You know what I mean?
Ah, man.
Two albums in the same year, Machiavelli and All Eyes on Me. I don't think anybody ever going to top that. DMX came close with his two albums. 98 he dropped in 98.
Yeah. You know
right. I mean? That's Get a good At point. Me, Dog, and Flesh in My Flesh, Blood in My Blood.
Yeah.
But then you had Mobb Deep came with Hell on Earth. That was hard. Tupac.
One of my favorite Mobb Deep albums.
That was
a real dark album.
Yeah, that was dark. And then you had The Roots, Illadelph Half-Life.
My favorite Roots album. Man,
that's my favorite Roots album. Sonically, of
it is so smooth.
That's hard. Yeah. They came with the boom bap hip-hop shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then we had Redman, Muddy Waters. That was Redman, best album. You know what I'm saying? 96, bro. Yeah, you was tripping. Had Busta Rhymes, his first album, The Coming. That was hard. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Busta Rhymes, he took a long time to get it to you, but when he brought it, he delivered. You know what I'm saying? And then I had some honorable mentions. Lil' Kim, Hardcore, Foxy Brown, Ill Nana. Oh.
Did De La Soul Stakes Is High
come out? De La Soul Stakes Is High came out. Y'all tripping. Ghostface came with the Iron Man.
Okay.
Yeah, he was tripping.
All right. Yeah. I was tripping. 2018. that sums it up. 2018 doesn't compare to either 88 or 96.
Nah.
So, let me shut that shit down. We're going to get into the next topic. Next topic, did Eminem redeem himself with the Kamikaze album?
Cracker, man. We got to...
You know what I'm saying? I got to say, you know, I said a lot. Kel did too. We did a podcast in 2017, I think, right? End of 2017, last year. We did a... It's on the Hood Genesis podcast. We trashed that revival album like something horrible. I mean... If I can find the MP3 to that podcast, I'll post it on here because we trashed that joint, yo. Something horrible, you know what I mean? We lost hope in Eminem all the way. Eminem was just like, wrap it up, be retired. You know what I'm saying? But I gotta say, he definitely redeemed himself in 2018. He gave a couple of outstanding verses on people's albums in 2018. He had a little, you know, back and forth beef song dissing with Machine Gun Kelly.
Hold on.
We could talk about that. Go ahead. You know what I mean?
I think the young boy got him on that, man. Machine Gun Kelly shit was hard.
Yeah.
I love that song. You know what I mean? The rap devil. You know what I'm saying? Coming at him for the rap god shit. Mm-hmm. But,
He had the Drake effect on that. Yeah. Job, it was like, almost like a single.
Yeah. It was like he was partying on him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Drake had that back to back on Meek. That shit turned into a party anthem. I felt like Rap Double did the same thing. You know what I'm saying? And at first, I thought M shit was whack. But as I listened, like, you know, technically, you know, M always want to have the bars and all that shit. But it just didn't play like that Rap Double. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
M technically sound, but I think MGK got him on that, bro.
Yeah. You know what, I'm gonna agree with you on that. Yeah, it's a hard agree, but yeah, I'm agree with you on that. Yeah, I have to. But so what do you think? M, he redeemed himself in 2018?
Much as it pains for me to say, like cracker, but yeah, he definitely redeemed himself with the Kamikaze album. I don't like Eminem. I like Slim Shady. I felt like he was Slim Shady throughout that whole project. It was a pretty good project. You know what I'm saying? Like the best one he did since maybe the Marshall Mathers project. Because he put out a lot of whack albums after that Marshall.
People don't want to tell you. People don't want to say that, though.
They don't want to agree. They trying to say he the greatest of all time. I never in my life. He haven't never put out a classic album, but I will say
classic verses.
Yes, like he got before. Bars. He can make good songs, but never a whole album. You know what I'm saying? He don't have no Illmatic, no Reasonable Doubt. You know what I'm saying? And if you're trying to say that Marshall Mathers LP is that, it's not. Stop it. You know what I mean?
Listen. Stop. Listen, yo, with my militant ass, I just cannot put a Caucasian over somebody African American who started this culture. And I'm not, that's not a biased statement. I'm just being real. Like, yo, how much more shit, you know, I mean, damn, Elvis then stole all Little Richard shit and Rock and Roll shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, why the fuck we gonna give a Caucasian that fucking platform? M is good. But listen, man, I'm not going to say that he has a better album than fucking Follow the Leader, Rakim, Big Daddy Kane,
Coogee Rap.
I can't put him over these pioneers. I can't put him over the pioneers. I'm only talking about the pioneers. I ain't even get to the Nas and the Jay-Z's and the Biggie and the Tupac. You know what I'm saying? I could go on for days. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's dope, no doubt. The man is dope, but I have to agree with my man from what's the group? From fucking Brand Nubian.
Oh, Lord Jamal.
Lord Jamal. He said he's a guest.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I have to agree with Lord Jamal. Like Lord Jamal said Eminem is a guest. I can't do it, yo. It is what it is. So yeah, Eminem redeemed himself for 2018. So shout out to him and his whatever.
Crack ass.
On to the next. I gotta say, 2018 gave us a bunch of collab albums between two rappers and a producer, or a producer and a rapper, or two rappers together. So I gotta ask, Kel, which collab album is your favorite out of this list I'm gonna provide? Which is Knife Wonder and Black Thoughts, 215 Volume 1 EP. The Styles P and Dave X, excuse me, the 1800s kicking in. Styles P and Dave East album, Beloved. The Jericho Jackson album with LZ and Crisis. The Currency and Freddie Gibbs album called Fetty, produced entirely by The Alchemist. And I think that's it. No, I'm missing one.
I'm missing one
because the Apollo Brown.
Locksmith.
And Locksmith, the Apollo Brown, and Joel Ortiz. I got to throw them in there, too. So out of that, which is your favorite ones or your favorites out of that list?
And you left off a couple, but out of that, I'm going to go with Dave East and Styles P. Like, Styles P, one of my favorite rappers. He like my top five.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm going to go with that Beloved project. But there's a couple other projects that I fuck with that wasn't on the list. Like the Carters, Jay and Beyonce album, Everything Is Love was dope. Torre and Praise, All Praise Is Due, that was a dope album.
Oh, highly and, that.
DJ Muggs and Rock Marciano had a nice little collabo too.
I ain't listen to that.
That shit was hard. Yeah. But I'm going to go with Dave East and Styles P.
Okay.
That shit was hard.
Okay.
That was my shit.
Yeah, that was your hardest, well, one of your hardest street albums of 2018.
Absolutely.
That was gritty. That was gritty New York shit right there.
Yeah.
Wasn't too much trappity trap, let's go to the club, shake some butts and all that bull crap. It was hard, gritty New York shit. But my favorite out of the collab albums this year, I gotta go with the Currency and Freddie Gibbs, John, produced entirely by the Alchemist. I don't know how many times.
Not Harry Fraud?
No, it was the Alchemist.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, not Harry Fraud. You know what I'm saying? Alchemist.
That's my man.
He's one of them very underrated producers. And I love Alchemist because, man, he stay away from the cameras, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, he do his thing. Like, his sound is like impeccable, man. Like, nobody has his sound. You feel me? Whereas though we could say somebody like Stash Selecta is a DJ Premier baby. You know what I'm saying? Man, he's DJ Premier's son. Yeah, he got the scrotum all down his throat where he get motherfucking a yeast infection in his throat from the balls or some shit. You know what I mean?
God dang.
Pause. But yeah, we're going to go into the next topic. Next topic is Kanye's seven-song theory. And I got to ask, are seven-song albums the future for hip-hop? What's up, Kel? What you think?
I don't think it's the future, but I was fucking with it. I like my shit short and sweet and to the point. I don't need a whole bunch of album fillers. I just like seven dope heaters, and I'm good with that. So I dug it, man. I thought it was dope. I hate 19 and 20 track albums. I'm not sitting down listening to 19 and 20 track albums. It's just too much. I felt like the seven was good. Like, that was a good dose. You know what I mean?
So, would you say the Pusha T album is the best out of the seven? Because you actually have in your top five two of those Kanye seven song albums.
Absolutely. I have Nas and Pusha.
Yeah.
So, I like it. I like my shit to hit me short and sweet, man. I don't need 20 and 21 and 30 fucking songs and you ain't saying nothing. Like fucking Drake album, it was put out
a double album
is a bullshit fillers. For nothing.
I don't care what nobody said. You know what I'm saying? He's the golden child, but that Drake album, Scorpion, I mean, listen, you know, okay, yeah, God's plan. He gave out, you know, had the black folks crying, giving out gifts and money.
I
ain't gonna hold you. The video almost made me cry because I felt like I need to be in that video and I need to get at least 10 racks. You know what I'm saying? I need to cry. I felt like crying because I need to be there. You feel me? Drake is a smart man. You know, he played on the, you know what I'm saying? He played on the emotions of people, you know what I'm saying?
Giving.
You know, of giving. You know, that was dope. You know what I mean? I gotta give it up to him. That was dope. Nobody did no shit like that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But other than that, the fucking album, Scorpion, that was full of a fucking bunch of fillers, yo. I don't care what nobody say. Because when you in this music game, I know how it goes. You know what I'm saying? These artists, they record. You got to think about it. They in the studio. Real true artists. They in the, you know, Kel.
Yeah.
They in the studio more than they are at home. Right. And sometimes at home, they even got studios. So they have songs on songs on songs on deck. You know what I'm saying? This was some filler shit, yo. I don't care what nobody say. Yes. He had a couple of joints on there, the joint for the females, where he sampled Lauryn Hill's voice, the vocals and shit. That was cool.
Mark Jackson,
yeah, you know, that was cool, but
family was, man, look, that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? On to the next, though. yeah, Kanye is a smart dude, though, for that 7-song theory, yeah, shit, yo. You know what I mean? But, that was a good segue to bring up Drake, because we actually going to talk about the Drake versus Pusha T. We ain't going to go too far on that, but, you know, we know who won that.
Absolutely.
You know, we know who won that beef. I think Drake gracefully bowed out. Oh, beautiful. Lovely.
Awesome.
Yes. That looks great. But, yeah, we got to shout out Kel's wife for the lovely plate of food and the food that she's making. That's a sidebar right there. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't need to see no pictures or nothing like that. Y'all don't need to see that because y'all might get hungry too. But look, Drake lost the battle.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely lost the battle. Pusher, the song of Adeline, that was hard. You know, Pusher represented where he came from. He represented his era to the max where he came from. And if y'all know what I mean, y'all know what I mean. I'm sounding like Pusher right now. You know what I'm saying? About the bars. But real talk.
You know.
Straight up, though. You know what I'm saying? If you know, you know. You know what I mean? That's real talk. Like, Drake, he started to get people involved. You're going to try to get Jay Prince, get LeBron to speak up for you. You know, that's Stone Cold
acting
pussy
like a
way.
Bitch, man.
You know what I'm saying? Stone Cold pussy way. Then he try to say his rules to dissing and battling. You can't talk about this. Stop it. Stop it. Like Styles P said on Hot 97, it's no rules to dissing. If we're going to let the most popular man create rules to dissing and battling, like, the shit is done. It's over.
Yeah, the game over.
It's over. You cannot do that. You know what I'm saying? It's no rules. That's like you going in a boxing ring and you say, well, look, we boxing, but you can't punch me in my eye. You can't punch me in my left, right. I mean, my right arm. You can't punch me in my thigh. You know, like, come on, yo. You know what I'm saying? Just stop it, yo. You know what I mean?
I don't think niggas want to punch niggas in the thigh, but.
yeah, but, you know.
I know what I mean.
Yeah, but you got any more to say about, like, this Drake and Pusha shit? You know what I mean?
I thought definitely thought Pusha T won the battle. Drake ain't want no more after he came with that song about the hitting sun. He didn't want no more. You know what I'm saying? That nigga like, oh, this shit ain't fair. Fuck out of here with that, man. It's hip hop.
Exactly.
Everything's on the table. Once you came for that man wife,
it's the
gloves was off, man. You know what I'm saying? Then Pusha T from a different era. So he ain't trying to hear that. Ain't no rules in real hip hop era. Everything's on the table. Then Drake got a little mad when he said the 40, you know, was sick. He felt like that was a low blow. Like,
hey,
niggas don't give a fuck. If your mom's sick and they know, they coming for your mom, nigga.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
It is.
It's hip hop. That's what it is. The street fucking hip hop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I felt you on that. Like, Styles was right about niggas at the top trying to change rules. Like, man, you can't do that, man. Get the fuck out of here. It's like a popularity contest, man, hip hop right now. Niggas just popular.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, fuck you doing, babe? I'm on the fucking mic. You over here dropping shit and all this shit. What the fuck's going on? You know what I'm saying? But I felt like Pusha T definitely did his thing and won the battle. You know what I mean? we can move on to the next topic, bro.
So we're gonna get in the next topic. That's not too hard to talk about. We all know one. We're gonna get into this Nasir album. I gotta ask, was this the Nas album that we wanted to hear after not getting an album since 2012, which his last album was Life Is Good, which Life Is Good was a very outstanding album. To those who disagree,
fuck you.
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, if you don't think Life Is Good was a dope album, you must got chlamydia in your ears.
Oh shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
You know what I mean? Real talk though. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna go first. You know, the Nasir album. At first, when I heard it, I was like, first of all, the rollout of it was so wrong.
Oh, man.
Because they had it so hyped. They're like, it was going to come out on Friday. It didn't come. Then I think it didn't come out until like Saturday or something. I don't know how. They
Saturday
just kept
night.
Saying it was coming.
Damn near Sunday morning.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I didn't like the rollout. The rollout pissed me off because, you know, Kel is a super Nas fan. I'm a fucking Nas stan. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure people know that know me on social media and all that. I'm always posting Nas lyrics, Nas songs. Yeah, I'm a fucking stan. But this Nas album, when I heard it, I was so hyped. First time I heard it, I'm like, oh, this is the best album out of the whole 2018. But then I was like, nah, I don't like it. You know, after a while, then I said, I don't like it. Kanye fucked his album up. But then I thought about it and just, you know, hearing Nas in interviews and reading what he was saying. And he was saying that him and Kanye was supposed to been do this album. And it was something that he just was brought on to him. I ain't gonna say it last minute, but like Kanye pretty much called them out to Wyoming. Like, yo, come through. This is the format that we doing. And what I'm assuming is that when Nas got out there, this wasn't some lyrics that he just pulled out of a notebook. This was something that he really did on the spot.
Oh, you think he did it on the spot?
Yeah, I think he did it on the spot. That's my opinion, you know what I mean? But I gotta say, overall, now how I feel about the Nasir album, I like it. I really do. I just don't think it's like one of the top albums of 2018. It's in my top 10. Let me clear that up. The Nasir album definitely in my top 10. Especially I like how he put together the visuals for it. He put together a short film for each song.
Dope.
And that was dope. Nas usually don't do a rollout like that with his albums. But that was very creative for him to do that. Master Pill Records got together, and I don't know who came with the concept, but that was dope to provide visuals for each song. Real dope. And every visual meant something. So for those who didn't see that yet, go on YouTube and you can search up the Nasir album, the short film, and you'll be able to see that. It's really dope. But yeah, that's how I feel about it. What's up, Kel?
Fuck that. Nah, I'm just fucking.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, I thought the Nasir album was dope. But like Mill was saying, Miz 100, motherfucking whoever you think he is right now. But, when I first heard it, I was kind of disappointed. I thought it was rushed. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, it's like to take his time with shit. I felt like that wasn't the album that he prepared to bring, to the public. I felt like motherfucking Kanye put him on the spot. Kanye probably, you know what I mean, fast talked him into doing the album pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But after I listened and I listened and I listened, it became one of my favorite albums of the year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still felt like Nas bordered lyrically. You know what I'm saying? After all the critics and everybody was complaining about the album, I felt like he did a fucking good job on that. You know what I'm saying? Now, it might not have been the album that we wanted, being as though it was only 7 songs. We definitely want to hear more from Nas, but I felt like it was a real good project.
And Kanye definitely bordered on the beat wise. And all the conspiracies with the album cover and the beat that they're saying Kanye took from one of these producers. I don't give a fuck, man. Music is music. Mm-hmm. That's homie's fault for putting that shit out there like that. You know what I'm saying? You hold on to a beat like that. And the beat that I'm talking about is the Adam and Eve beat. You know what I'm saying? And I was talking about the album art cover. But hey, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Man, they should just salute the God, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's the God of rap, man. Like, just salute him, yo. Like, man, this is what's up. He got inspired. Nas got inspired by me. Yeah. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
And that's how boy took it, though. That's how that boy took it. I forget his name, but I felt like, nah, that was a good fucking project. Felt like a short period of time for Nas. You know, he like to take his time, take a few years with an album, but I feel like he gonna come back and drop something real dope this year. We'll see what happens. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All right. As we about to like kind of wrap up the hip hop section, but before we do that, we're gonna get into this Meek Mill album. Meek Mill released his new album called Championships. Some already are calling it a classic and best hip-hop album of the year. I know so many people love Meek and his story, but this isn't the classic album that we've been waiting for. That's my opinion. Definitely 19 songs too long. And I got my answer that I've always wanted about Meek Mill's and his process of how he putting albums out. I watched him on the Breakfast Club. And he gave me the answer that actually me and Kel been talking about. You know, he said that he A&Rs all his albums. He has some friends of his that come through. He asked them what songs is hot, this and that. I'm sorry, Meek. You got to stop. You gotta relax, you gotta chill, you know what I'm saying? Because it's too many. You on signed to Atlantic, you on MMG, you in them circles. It's too many dope A&Rs that's out there that you can come bring in on your team to A&R your album. I mean, shit, you got the boy Hip Hop right there. Hip Hop is down with Roc Nation. Roc Nation is your management. Hip Hop A&R a lot of albums through Roc Nation. And if y'all know who hip hop is, like, do your research. I'm not here to provide y'all the info. Like, if I throw the names out there, y'all just be thankful that I threw the name out there and y'all can find out who these people are. But Meek gotta chill. He gotta, like, yo, just rap, be the creative that you are, the talent that you have, and just do your bars and pick, you know, select your beats. I'm with that. I'm with artists selecting the beats that they want to rap on. I'm with that. You know what I mean? But to A&R an album? Nah. Like, Kel, you know. You know what I'm saying? When fucking doing us the indie hip hop shit, fucking with the artists that we had, you know that was always a bad idea. You know, you personally know that was a bad idea. You know, me and Kel, we invested in the artists that we had of ours, and he always would A&R his projects. And then send to us and be like, yo, this shit hot. And we go back and forth with this artist and we used to be like, nah, man, it's not lined up right. Then we send it back, we line it up right for him, and he'll be like, man, y'all niggas ear corny. And so it was like, you know, it's like artists are artists. Right. You know what I'm saying? Let the people with the good ear, you know, knowing what vocal tones you sound right on, what beats, and Let us line all that shit up. You know what I'm saying? Let the A&Rs line that up. You know what I mean? But I gotta say, with this Meek Mill's album, what I was impressed with is his growth. I was impressed with the growth of his content. The growth of him actually saying that, putting in his songs the things that he's actually going through in real life. And me and Kel always talked about that. We said, damn, we know Meek going through some shit. He need to rap about it. Because humans are naturally nosy. They naturally nosy. Rap about the shit you going through. It's going to create a conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what A&Rs do. This is what A&Rs do. You sit and talk with your artists. Get a feel of Get a feel of how they thinking. And tell them, like, this is what you need to do. You know, that's what real A&Rs do. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, man, listen, yo. I'm kind of mad at myself that I didn't go further with this shit. You know what I'm saying? I let other shit distract me. But, like, yo, we really know this shit. That's, you know what I'm saying? We ain't just some suck-ass niggas. Yeah, y'all don't know our names like that. But, like, yeah, we was on our way. But it is what it is. For as far as Meek shit, like, it's a good, it's a cool album. Just not a top 10 album. Here you go, Kel.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the first half of the album was hard.
Fire.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, this might be fire. Me classic. And then as I scrolled down the track listening, he just had like a lot of unplaced features that he didn't need. And the songs just was trash after a certain point. I was like, damn. And like Mill said, when I heard the Breakfast Club interview, he A&R his own project. Like, wow, man, you might want to get some help with that. Because maybe you can space out all that dopeness all the way through. Or just cut some of them album fillers. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Kodak Black shit, like, why are we
21 Savage.
21 Savage.
All, like, the lovey-dovey bullshit that you ain't good at.
And then, yeah, Mill just stole my thunder. Like, all the love songs, like, I feel like that's Meek weakness. Like, leave the bitches alone. I know, you know, they sell records and all of that, but that's not your twist, bro. Excuse me. They want the street shit from Meek. We don't want to hear you loving and all this bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, keep the shirt on, dog. Like,
yeah.
You're not buff the fuck up, nigga.
What's that?
You flabby and sick like Larry Holmes. Like, keep man. The shirt on. You Listen, know what I'm saying? Stop it.
Just like how Eminem is not good for political records.
Yeah,
just Eminem stop. Stepping up talking Black Lives Matter. No. No, no. Sit your Caucasian ass down. We don't want you spitting political rap. Fuck all that. Spit your lyrical miracle shit. That's what we want to hear. That's what you're good at. So that's where we're going to end at. We're about to go to an interlude. So when we come back from the interlude/intermission, whatever you want to call it, we're going to get into our sports section. All right, bet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're back. That was our little interlude. You know, shout out to DJ Premier and the Dope Beat and Gangstar. Rest in peace, Guru. But yeah, this is the sports section. You know what I mean? We're going to get into our sports debates and topics and stuff like that. First, we're going to start off with, Kel, you seen when D Rose dropped 50? On Halloween,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what's crazy? They said that was the first time that he ever dropped 50.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. You know what I mean? I could have swore when he was with the Bulls that he had dropped 50 points at least one time. You know what I mean? Oh, 49.
Yeah.
Okay. What you think about that, man? I mean, D Rose is what year is he in? Like, dropping 50 at this stage of his career? After the injuries and everything?
Yeah, this is about his 11th, 12th year, and he like motherfucking Humpty Dumpty and shit.
He really balling, though.
Yeah, he balling. He got the green light out in Minnesota. They don't have
too many guards that can
score. Yeah.
Tibbs. You know. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually like him as a coach, too. D Rose was one of my favorite players before all the fucking injuries. He was a beast. I felt like if he would have teamed up with somebody, he would have won something. You know what I mean? He was giving Miami all they could handle.
He needed a big man.
Yeah.
And that boy with the long floppy hair that played tennis wasn't it. What's his name?
Joe King Noah.
Yeah, he wasn't
it. You know what I'm saying?
He was like a poor man's Marcus Campy.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he needed some help, man. He didn't have any help, man. He was doing it all himself. And he had to, that year he won MVP, he had to go against Miami Heat with Wade Bosch and James. And he was by himself. You know, what the fuck he going to do?
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it was good for him. He was one of my favorite players a long time ago, but he just got caught with the injury bug, man. So I don't even look at it as anything anymore, but that was definitely a feat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To drop 50 in the way his career been in limbo, like, that was definitely dope. You know what I mean? Good to see. But all that crying and whining like a little bitch after the game, like, I wasn't feeling that.
My man was emotional, yo. He was emotional, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I was good. I was happy to see that because I'm a D Rose fan too, and I just was like, you know, kind of like, damn, sad for him that when he got certain injuries and shit like that, you know, and how his career shaped out to be, because he definitely was giving out work to a lot of major people.
Yeah.
LeBron James, he used to get work to, you know what I mean? Like, real talk, you know what I mean? He was just missing, like you said, a couple of key players, and he would have been good. But
he got Jimmy Butler at the end, but
yeah,
he wasn't himself, you know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't himself. Butler came in at the latter stages of his career, but, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't enough.
Yeah. And, you know, what I want to get into is, real briefly, you know, some people are sports fans and they just couch potatoes.
Okay.
And where I'm going with this is, I kind of respect people more that actually play the sport.
Absolutely.
And where I'm going with this is, you know, a couch potato that plays John Madden, you know, never played sports in their whole life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They just look at the TV and be like, oh, you should have did it this way. But I just feel like for people that never felt that hit, if you play football or if you play basketball, how it feels to cross a nigga and go to the hoop or pull up on somebody or lay somebody up or play defense on them. And yeah, I'm talking this shit because us, Kel and me, we played the shit. We're not just talking this sports talk because, you know, we couch potatoes. We really played the sports. Yo, no, real talk. I'm not trying to put you on blast, Kel, but let the motherfuckers know who you played with back in Philly, yo. Like, you was playing with some major motherfuckers, yo. Real talk, in your AAU shit. You know, no, talk that talk, yo.
Michael Jordan and shit. He almost went pro. He overseas playing.
He played for University of Penn. Don't leave
University
that out, yo.
University of Penn, definitely. Played summer league for the Celtics. Played with Lamar Plummer. He played at University of Penn. A couple of other people, man, was all in that total response league, man. We used to get in that hard, man. A couple of homies playing ball hard, man. But, yeah, man, you gotta be able to play the sport to understand it. This ain't no motherfucking video game.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? You sitting your fucking funky ass down on the sofa pushing buttons and shit. It's totally different when you out there having to make the moves yourself. It's definitely different. It's
totally different.
So I definitely understand where you're coming from with that. You know what I mean? Definitely.
Yeah, man. I mean, I played ball, but I never played ball organized besides, like, you know, a little, like, Kel played ball organized. I played football organized.
Why? I ain't played.
I played with some big name people. I mean, I played with shit, Raheem Brock, Super Bowl winner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He went to Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm never going to forget the time Raheem Brock, I'm on a sweep and he picked me up, suplexed me, and started laughing. Yeah. Like, I'm not, listen, don't get it twisted. I was the shit at running back, but don't get it twisted. Raheem Brock was just as big as he was when he won a Super Bowl that he was in high school.
Dang.
So, if you understand what I'm saying, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, he wasn't able to be blocked. You know what I mean? Nigga suplexed me. You know what I mean? Like, shit was
95?
Crazy. Yep, 95. Yep, 95. 94, 95 was the season I played in public league football. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I played it with a lot of people, man. You know what I mean? But we're going to go on to the next topic. Me and Kel always go back and forth with this one. Drew Brees or Brady?
Yeah. damn, I know... I'm going to go with Drew Brees. That's my man. You know what I'm saying? I know I got to get up to Tom Brady. He the GOAT, but I feel like a lot of that's Bill Belichick also. You know what I'm saying? But Tom Brees definitely the GOAT. But, man, I just love Drew Brees the way
Tom Brees? Man. You said Tom Brees.
I thought I said Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
You know what I'm saying? Well, we're going to get that up to the 1800 coconut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shouts out to the 1800 coconut. Got a nigga twisted. I done had to drink water, juice, all kinds of shit to chase these joints. Because we ain't drinking no beer. It's just straight 1800. But I love Drew Brees' game, man. He going to go down as number one statistical quarterback of all time, man. And he's 39 years old right now. And he might play his way into a Super Bowl.
This year?
You know what I'm saying? This year.
Yeah.
That's going to be crazy. But can't take nothing away from Brady, man. He just consistently does it, man. You know, he got the greatest mind in football history. You know what I'm saying? Behind him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Drew Brees has a good coach, Sean Payton, but he's basically offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Bill Belichick cover it all. He's a defensive coach, but his offense flows. And then when you look at it, all of Belichick disciples that left him, they ain't shit without him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at all the coaches that left him, they haven't had much success without Belichick. So I just got to say... Tom Brady is with the evil genius, but my favorite quarterback is Drew Brees. You dead?
Okay. I'm gonna go with Dan Marino. And I know y'all probably like Dan Marino. That wasn't part of the question. Nah, listen. What I'm saying is Dan Marino was Drew Brees. Dan Marino, listen.
Drew Brees is taller.
Yeah, true. But Drew Brees is Dan Marino with his era. You got to think about it.
No. He won a Super Bowl, my nigga.
Well, goddamn. Here we go. See, hold on. Now here it comes out. Kel is the Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Right.
I am the Miami Dolphins fan. Yeah, my team ain't shit. But we got to mention... Just recently, you know, we're recording on a Tuesday after the miracle in Miami. The miracle in Miami. Y'all know what it is, yo. The miracle in Miami beat those bitch-ass Patriots. You know what I'm saying? The great Belichick and motherfucking Tom Brady got beat in Miami. On some miracle toss back type fucking
play. That was a fluky play. Ass play, bro.
But you gotta put the blame on Belichick.
Yeah.
He put motherfucking Gronk out there. And,
what the fuck?
Yeah, he was the last nigga to try to tackle Drake.
That should have been a fucking safety.
Yeah, the running back Drake is running like at least a 4 footer. You think Gronk is going to really catch him?
Stop. He was all stumbling, looking stupid and shit.
He just put a couple moves on him. He out. Like, yo, what you going to do? Nigga, you know how to catch passes and block. That's it.
That's it.
Not tackle.
No tackler.
You know what I mean? Stop it. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I'm taking Marino, you know, over both, because if I was to place Marino in this era, you know, y'all know the defense changed as far as how the cornerbacks play receivers now and all that, because Marino came from the era to put up numbers when the cornerbacks was down there flipping receivers.
You could close line
receivers. They was, within that 5 yards, everything was legal.
Nigga, it was after the 5 yards.
They were killing
receivers.
That's where I'm going at with this. Imagine, just use your imagination with Marino in this league. This league right now. You know what kind of numbers this nigga was? Because you know they're going, in this era, they're going to supply them with the receivers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The tight ends, receivers, all that shit. Because honestly, I'm going to go to my grave saying this. The Dolphins didn't get a chip with Marino because they never supplied him with a running back in that era. If he would have had a great running back in that era, he would have won a chip. He would have. Because they always had somewhat good defenses. They did go to that one Super Bowl against the 49ers, but that was in Montana. Montana was on fire back then.
Duper and Clayton.
Yeah.
They had Duper receivers.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. You know, that's that. We're going to go on to next. Here we go. I don't know. This might be a big question for you. Might not be. But will LeBron win a chip in L.A.? And before I finish, I'm the Lakers fan. And Kel is the Sixers fan. And I told y'all in the beginning of the show, I'm the jerk who's not a hometown fan of no Philly sports, and I'm born and raised here. So, Kel, I'm asking, will LeBron win a chip in L.A.?
I don't think he's going to win a chip over there. As long as Golden State still want to have that team over there, I don't see LeBron coming out the West unless he puts together a monster team, you know, the motherfucking, the monsters. But it seems like some of these guys don't want to play with LeBron. But I got a feeling that KD might jump ship and go play with LeBron. But if LeBron don't get a top five talent to go along with him, he's not going to win in L.A. It's too tough coming out of the West. This ain't the East. I don't think he'll win a chip without two more top five players. So long as Golden State over there with that bomb squad, if they stay together, LeBron not winning a chip in L.A.
Okay. All right. I agree with you. He's going to need a bona fide star to ride that seat with him. You know. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, L.A. going to try to do all they can to get him another star. So, on to the next question. Jimmy Butler joins the Sixers, and then B is hating.
Oh, man.
What's going on, yo? You the hometown fan. What is going on with Embiid? I'm gonna tell you what I think, but I'm gonna wait till you go there. Go ahead.
They saying that spacing. They want spacing. They want to open up them lanes for Butler to drive and Simmons to drive also. But it's taking Embiid out of this game. They got him playing on the perimeter like he motherfucking Reggie Miller or somebody. Fuck the spacing. I feel like spacing should be fine with Butler out there anyway. You just need maybe another shooter on the floor. Also, you got J.J. Redick.
They got shooters, Butler, though. They got shooters.
Butler, Redick. You know, I feel like that's enough spacing. Just let Embiid do his thing. He's the focal point of the team. Just let him do his thing.
Yeah.
Butler should fall in line accordingly. You know what I mean? Even though I know he's the alpha, but to the big fella, you gotta fall in line, man.
Nigga won 2 games.
He did.
Butler's a finisher.
He's a finisher.
They brought him in for that. He's an all-star.
I agree.
He's a finisher.
I agree, but Embiid is a versatile big, man. You can't just have him out on the perimeter.
Nope.
He want to go down and do work. He want to come out. He shoot too many fucking threes, so I don't know why they want him to go out more. I want him down low more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we're going to see how this shit ends up. I think the Sixers going to need to make another deal to get another player in there. You know what I'm saying? That maybe that'll spread the floor more.
Yeah.
Where B won't have to go up top and
yeah.
a fucking pick and pop.
Yeah.
Center. You know what
you know what I noticed about, you didn't mention nothing about Simmons. And this, and you know what that says to me? Because I really truly believe Simmons is out of here.
Really?
I think he's going rogue. He like
agree.
That Kardashian and Jenna pussy.
Yeah, he want that L.A. life.
He want that L.A. pussy, yo.
Yeah.
And that Jenna bitch is, she came to Philly. Bitch went down South Philly to the ice skating rink.
Oh, my.
She trying to play her part. You know, she used to that warm weather and warm yeah. pussy and warm dick. Yeah, she is playing her part for him. So I she think she's going to have a big influence
absolutely.
Of him bouncing. You know what I'm saying? I think he like that L.A. lifestyle.
I do
so
too.
Ben Simmons, I think Butler's going to stay. I think eventually.
You think Butler's going to stay?
I think he's going to stay. Mm. Because I don't know if you remember, they said they wouldn't accept the deal unless he has an intent to actually plan on staying.
He don't have to though.
He don't have to. True, you know but
he can make more money in Philly anywhere else.
True. But I think Butler gonna rock out. I think he gonna fuck with. You know what? I think
Butler asshole.
Yeah, but I think he gonna rock out with Philly. I think he is. He smokes weed. You know, you got all the weed dealers here. You know, I mean. I think he's going to be... He's going to like Philly. Philly loves
You're a
him.
Philly type of player, though.
He is. Yeah. All the way.
Hard,
you know what I'm saying? Deep. I think eventually Butler and Embiid going to get it together.
I hope so.
I think they are. I think far as right now what's going on with Embiid, I still think the Sixers got to trash that coach.
Oh,
you got to get rid of him. Bring a hard-nosed coach in to really... Say to Embiid, like, yo,
shut the
fuck up and play. We don't need you shooting threes. Stay in the box.
Yeah.
Stay in the box. You can shoot your 18-footers, 15-footers.
Right.
But we don't need you shooting 21, 23.
I mean, coming down, shots. Pulling up like he a
like
fucking
you a guard. We don't need that. You know what I'm saying? Let the Butlers and all the other three-point shooters they got do that. You know what I mean? But, yeah, on to the next. I got to ask, Kel, is Melo career over?
Oh, man. They trying to blackball my man. I think he'll get another shot. Once we get deep into the season, teams get desperate. You know what I'm saying? I think somebody going to give him another shot. It's not like he did anything wrong. It just wasn't a good fit. And Houston holding on to him to try to get something back. You know what I mean? Because they could have been letting waiting. And they know somebody going to pick him up.
I thought they let him go.
No, they holding on to him because they trying to make a deal. But I think he's going to get another shot, man. Teams get desperate. I wouldn't mind seeing him in Philly alongside the boys. You know what I mean? And give us another option of scoring. Definitely open up the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I take Melo on Philly right fucking now. You know
Facts.
What I'm saying? Because we don't have no bench.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So I take
Melo.
You know what
get
I mean?
Mellow.
I think he'll get
Rest
another
of the
shot.
Season. Yeah, I like that. Shit, I even like my Lakers to get Melo. Fuck it.
You know LeBron,
yeah,
man.
Hey,
that's his homie.
You fuck with him. Shit, take Melo. All right. I ain't touching on that. All right. Are you sold on the Zion Williamson hype?
Man, I think the youngin' is nice, man. I've never seen a 6'7", 280-pound nigga jump out the building like that.
Nigga jumping out like Dominique.
Yeah, like Dominique Wilkins.
Straight the fuck
it's
up.
Crazy. I think
no lie.
All he need is a jump shot. And he on his way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he got everything.
If he get
else.
A jump shot, he got everything else. He can handle the ball. He can pass. He can dunk. I got to see him on the defensive end. You know, I don't get to see too many Duke games. But next time I check out a game, I'm going to look at him on defense. But offensively, he got the total package once he get a jump shot. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not going to say he going to come into the lead and dominate, but he going to be a force when he get into the lead under the right coach. You know what I mean? Definitely got to be under the right coach.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You know, I don't see too many Duke games. I go on YouTube and watch the highlights. And for what I see, they hyping up the guy, R.J. Barrett.
Yeah, I but feel to like me, he better.
Zion better. Is better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I get it. R.J. Barrett got the attributes and all that. I get it. He got the cosign from Steve Nash and all that bullshit. But Zion, yo, his rawness, his upskill is crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Now hold up. That boy R.J. Barrett is from Canada, right?
Yeah.
I don't trust them dudes, man. Wiggins didn't pan out to me in Minnesota. It was you another got one of them Canadian boys.
You got a point there. Either, you know what I mean? Got a point there, man. And the more and more, like, I look at the Duke highlights and I look at R.J. Barrett game, like, the excitement is Zion. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
You know, Zion plays deep.
He's going to fill the seats.
He's rebounding. He rebound with so much fierceness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, ferociousness. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm saying a word right. He got me, like, just talking crazy. You know what I'm saying? But
more exciting.
Yeah, he's exciting. He brought excitement to college basketball. That's all I'm
saying.
That
shit was lacking excitement.
It was.
I don't even want to watch.
Yeah, and I like last Saturday, I turned on a college game. It was Seton Hall versus Kentucky.
Okay.
And it was actually a good game. But it still wasn't like I was watching Zion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you know, breakaway, it's going down.
Yeah. So my last question for this sports stuff is, who's your pick to win the Super Bowl? We know it ain't the Eagles.
Oh, man. Damn, yeah. Basically, my football season over. But I'm going to go with... I'm gonna go with the Rams or the Saints to win it.
NFC
all.
Team.
Yeah, NFC is tough, man. NFC way tougher than the AFC. I'm gonna go with the Rams or the Saints. Either
okay.
one.
Okay. Alright. I'm gonna go with the Chargers.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Chargers balling on the low.
They gotta get Gordon back though.
They will. He don't got no season injury.
Okay.
Season ending injury.
Okay.
So I'm Phillips is.
Yeah.
He throwing. He balling like crazy.
That nigga got like 10 kids and shit.
Yeah, I think he just had his ninth kid or something like that.
He gotta relax.
Niggas don't even believe in even investing in condoms. You know what I'm saying? His wife's yams must be lovely. You know what I'm saying? Jones must just be fresh and juicy. All the time. Hashtag yam sauce. You know what I'm saying?
Every offseason, he dropping a baby. You know what I mean? Every offseason.
Yam sauce. His wife just probably be in the kitchen making him biscuits and supplying the pussy. But, yeah, we ought to probably for that. But, you know what I'm saying? We're going to actually wrap up this episode, and we want to say thanks for listening. This is our first episode. We will be dropping an episode once a month. You know, it might pick up to be twice a month soon. You know, we just we want to see how the reaction is to this as we first start. Now, you know, sports and hip-hop, it don't get no better than that.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I don't even know too many podcasts that's actually doing sports and hip-hop. And it's not the regular way that we're giving it to you. So I want to say... you can follow me on social media.
Follow me, man.
I know. This nigga's a ghost. You know what I'm saying? Kel is definitely not on social media. You might see me here and now post a picture up of Kel. But you can follow me on social media on Instagram at Miz100, and that is one and two at symbols, not two zeros. One and two at symbols.
Oh shit!
On Instagram, and you can follow me on Twitter where I'm at the most at Mr. 100 spelled out, and you can follow the podcast on at Mr. 100 Music on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Was it music?
Holiday tips and wine stories from Kristen and Paul at Total Wine and More.
The sweetness of a maple glazed ham paired with a bourbon barrel aged Cabernet. We went there. Now my taste buds are hopping.
I can help you impress the boss with a great bottle of wine. Here's to a raise in 2019.
As you check off that gift list, we'd love to share our always low prices and ridiculous selection at Total Wine and More.
Come explore at our 12 Northern Virginia locations, now open in Reston at Plaza America Center, across from Whole Foods. Shop online at TotalWine.com.
The pressure to innovate is constant. It can be crippling, or it can be a catalyst for your best thinking and your best work. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you understand the forces that drive change and find new approaches to compete and win on innovation. Change course. Get ahead. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.